May the words of my mouth and the meditations of our hearts be always acceptable in your sight, O God, our strength and our Redeemer. Amen. On Ash Wednesday, the Book of Common Prayer invited us to the observance of a Holy Lent by self-examination and repentance, by prayer, fasting, and self-denial, and by reading and meditating on God's Holy Word. Lent is a time for introspection and self-reflection, a time to consider what it means to live a Christian life in the midst of great change and uncertainty. Our St. John's community offers many ways to approach this observance of a Holy Lent. Books with daily reflections and meditations, adult and youth programs that connect us to the season through scripture readings and group discussions, and many resources that we can connect to individually on our computers, tablets, and smartphones. I encourage you to take advantage of these and other resources that you discover on your own. So, back to our readings for today. We have arrived in the wilderness of Lent, and here is John, having emerged from his own wilderness, baptizing people in the River Jordan for the forgiveness of their sins. They came to this messenger, this preparer of the way, to leave the past behind and make a fresh start. John told them that he was not the one, but they came anyway, and now the one is here, seeking his own baptism from his prophet cousin. And as he comes dripping out of the water, the heavens are torn apart, a violent image, followed in contrast by a gentle, dove-like descent of the Holy Spirit. And a voice from heaven says, "You are my Son, the Beloved. With you I am well pleased." This is an affirmation of Jesus' identity. It's about what theologians call ontology, or Jesus' nature of being. Mark makes sure that we hear this right at the beginning of his Jesus story. Before the healings, miracles, teaching, or preaching, Jesus' identity is established. Mark doesn't tell us if everyone heard this voice or just Jesus, but Jesus doesn't get to bask in the glory of being affirmed as God's beloved at all. He is immediately driven into the wilderness. Not led, not politely invited, but driven. Before he even had a chance to dry off, Satan was waiting to tempt him. 40 days he spent with Satan and the wild beasts, but also with angels. Then he was off to his work, proclaiming the good news of the coming of the kingdom of God. And we are about to spend our own 40 days in our own wilderness. It's not insignificant that the season of Lent lasts 40 days. The number comes from the 40-day fasts in Scripture. Moses, Elijah, and Jesus all fasted for 40 days. However, if you look at the calendar and do the math, you will find that there are actually more than 40 days between Ash Wednesday and Easter Sunday. That's because Lent doesn't include the Sundays. Sundays are always feast days. Each Sunday is a little Easter, when we remember Christ's resurrection. So Sundays are in Lent, but not of Lent. That's just one more little factoid for your next church trivia game. If we are honest with ourselves, we try to avoid the wilderness. The desert is a dangerous place. No one goes into the desert unless they have to. In the desert wilderness, we are forced to see ourselves as we are, to enter the wild places that we would rather not go. We are tempted to turn away from encountering these wild places and just go through the motions of Lent. giving up sweets, limiting screen time, adding volunteer hours, and so on. But if we are to follow Jesus, if we are to be renewed and prepared to hope once more, we must face the wild, just as our spiritual ancestors did. For Abraham and Sarah, who left their home for a mysterious land that God said God would show them, and the people of Israel who wandered in the desert for 40 years, the wilderness became a place of refining and self-discovery. And always God was with them. They didn't have to face the wild places alone. God watched over Noah and his family in our Old Testament reading, and God's angels waited on Jesus as he struggled with Satan. In the story of Noah and the flood, we are back to this idea of ontology, or the nature of being. The nature of the flood survivors is different from their previous nature. They experience an ontological change as God establishes the covenant and redefines their relationship. These survivors are people who have been saved, who are beloved of God, and they have the rainbow to prove it. Baptism, according to the letter of Peter, brings about a similar redefinition of relationship, a change of identity. It's not just removal of dirt from the body, but a sign that we are rescued, cleansed, renewed. We too are the beloved. As the Collect for the Day says, God is mighty to save each and every one of us. We find our true identity in Christ, and we can hold on to that through whatever wilderness we are in and will be in this Lent and always. Just as Jesus' work began after he had been driven into the wilderness, so the work that God has for us to do begins with a journey of self-discovery through our own wild places. One commentator said of today's gospel reading, "Want to know what happens when you get too close to God, when you get touched by the power of God's Spirit? You don't sit still and enjoy the view. You don't lie down and take a nap. You don't bask in the glory of what just happened to you. You go immediately to wild work. To work for God is to be thrown directly into the path of those who would oppose God." Before he could begin work as God's beloved, Jesus had to wrestle with the forces that work against the will of God, the spiritual forces of wickedness that rebel against God, that corrupt and destroy the creatures of God, as our baptismal covenant says. Jesus had to face down the powers that would seek to prevent him from doing God's will in his coming ministry. It was like being confronted by wild animals threatening to devour him. In our various kinds of wilderness experiences, we too struggle against the wild beasts of our time and in our lives, the powers that work against love and grace. And they are very real. There are forces and influences inside us and around us that draw us from the way of God towards a selfishness that keeps us from seeing Christ in others, respecting the dignity of every human being, and recognizing our earthly home as God's creation. Instead, we try to manipulate the world and those around us into the form that we want, rather than that which God intends. Satan's aim was to move Jesus from faith in God to doubt. Jesus resisted temptation by keeping himself connected to God. Probably the angels helped with that. But we too can resist by staying connected through scripture and prayer and sacraments and the support and companionship of our sisters and brothers in Christ, our Christian community. And while it's not likely that we will hear a voice from heaven telling us unequivocally that we are, we know in our hearts that we are indeed God's beloved children. So here we are once again in Lent, the second Lent of the great pandemic of the 21st century, as someone said. This is just about where we began our magical COVID mystery tour last year. Sometimes it seems that we've been in Lent for a year or more. This time does feel a little different. There is Easter hope of a sort that was missing last year, but we still have a long journey ahead of us and we are not out of the wilderness yet. Here's something I read this week that sums up really well where I see us now. In these times of COVID-19, times that have involved so much giving up, so much suffering, many have talked about approaching Lent differently, emphasizing not giving up or self-sacrifice, but something else. But the heart of Lent is unchanged. Yes, we can and should acknowledge and grieve for all the losses we've suffered. That's very appropriate and needed. But the true, profound core of Lenten disciplines is not about giving up at all. It's about drawing closer to God. So on the one hand, yes, we've collectively and for many individually gone through and are going through some very difficult times. In that context, our Lenten soul searching may be and feel different than in past years. But our spiritual work is the same. Look at the things in our lives that separate us from a closer walk with God and endeavor to follow ever more faithfully in Jesus' footsteps. In that spirit, as Lent gets underway, whether we are ready for it or not, and although I am not known for quoting Pope Francis, I think these words of his from 2017 are worth noting. Do you want to fast this Lent? Fast from hurting words and say kind words, from sadness and be filled with gratitude, from anger and be filled with patience. Fast from pessimism and be filled with hope, from worries and trust in God, from complaints and contemplate simplicity. Fast from pressures and be prayerful, from bitterness and fill your heart with joy, from selfishness and be compassionate to others, from grudges and be reconciled. Fast from words and be silent so you can listen.